Good afternoon, everyone. So we're going to start with a discussion of gelatin. I know that the discussion we had last time about the two bechinos and the like was quite confusing. And the truth of the matter is that since Shir, I've come to where there's another bechina and the first bechina that I was made aware of from the Ad Yehuda. Thank you, Ali, for pointing that out. So we're going to get back to that when we do Sif Dalet, because the truth of the matter is that very question is going to come up again in Sif Dalet when we talk about Kalim. So we'll revisit the issue again. And now I want to go on to the topic of gelatin. So first of all, what is gelatin? Gelatin is a translucent, colorless, brittle, flavorless food substance derived from collagen obtained from various animal byproducts. That's what it says in Wikipedia. Now, how do they extract gelatin? So it's extracted from skin, bones, connective tissue of animals, such as cattle, chicken, pigs, and fish. How do they do it? So during hydrolysis, the natural molecular bonds between the collagen are broken down. And Wikipedia even says that recently they started using fish for people that have religious dietary restrictions, right? So that's the kosher gelatin that you said. So that's the reason why you could get the kosher gummy bears now that are really like geschmack gummy bears are because of that. Basically, what's the issue? So it comes from either skin or bones generally. And obviously, if you're talking about the Wrigley's gum, so or it's not going to be necessarily kosher animals, or certainly not shechted animals. So why would you think it's okay? So the answer is that in the process of making the gelatin, it is broken down using very powerful acids and the like, and it's totally nifsal. So what are the issues here, and why is there a machlokas? So first of all, we saw last time, that the Rambam writes in Hilchos Avos HaTumah Perak Aleph Halacha Zayin that Atzamos are not Mitamim Tumas Nevela, based off of the Gemara in Chulin that says B'Nivlasa, V'lo Be'or, V'lo Be'Atzamos, which implies that Atzamos don't have a Din Basar. And therefore, you might think, okay, well, if Atzamos aren't Basar, they're not Asar. And you should be able to eat the atzamos and use them to make your marshmallows. On the other hand, we saw the Rambam in Machalos Asuros, Perk Dalet Halacha Yudches, write, Ha'ochel Menevela Vitrefa Vachulei, so obviously your loka, Umen Atzamos Vachulei Afal Pishu Aser Hareza Pater. It sounds like there's an Isser, probably an Isser Durabanan, to eat treif bones, which would seem to indicate that there would be a problem to eat these marshmallows. So how do we deal with it? So the first to tackle this issue is the Achiezer of Chaim Ozer, Chela Gimel Simen Lamed Gimel Oshei. And he is Mako. He first starts off by saying that we find in Yerodea Pezayin Tes, the Rama writes that the Or HaKeva, which is basically a piece of meat, if it's totally dried out to the point that it's Ke'etz Be'alma, so then it could be used and is not treated as non-kosher. And the reason is because it's eitz, ein bo lachluchas, and it's not aser. And therefore, huadin bones that are totally dried out should have that same halacha. And the bones that are used to make gelatin are totally dried out, so it should be okay. Now, this sounds good, seems to make sense, except we have a problem. The problem is the Rambam. The Rambam writes that bones are aser, even if it's only an Isser Rabbanan. But in the end of the day, bones are aser. So if you look at the Rambam, it's clear it's aser to eat bones. So why should it be mutter to use bones to make gelatin and eat that? So he says, well, you have to say the Rambam is talking about a case where the bones are lach, or have lachos in them. Basically what he did is he turned the Rambam into the Ran. Remember, we saw the Ran last time in terms of dealing with the stira between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. The Ran basically concluded that the Bavli is talking about soft, moist bones, and in the case of soft, moist bones, they're aser, and the Yerushalmi is talking about dried out, yechezka-like bones, and therefore, dried out bones are mutter, soft bones are aser. Now the Rambam isn't meramesh to any of that, but he says, mistama, that's the pshat in the Rambam. And memela, the bones that are used to make gelatin are all dried out, so we're okay. We saved the day. It's a chiddush in the sense that the Rambam doesn't say that. Now, then he says, let's look at our sugya, Siman Tzadi Tes. So Siman Tzadi Tes, so if you learn like the Rash, then you're certainly okay. Because the Rash, and this is the Psak of the Mechaber, says that even at some Shal Isser, Mitzdar Flatter. And then he says, and even if you learn like the Ran, because we saw the Shach Paskins like the Ran, so that's only Atzamos Rakin, and Atzamos Yaveshim are okay, even according to the Ran, so we should be okay, because again, the gelatin, the bones used to make gelatin are Atzamos Yaveshim. Now the problem is as follows. Does it make sense to extrapolate from Siman Tzadi Tes Sif Aleph to the case of gelatin? At first glance, Reb Chaim Moser makes a lot of sense. Yeah, if you're going to say that bones shall iser are mitzarif levatel as a heter, so obviously it means you're treating them as iser, you're treating them as heter, you should be able to use them to make your marshmallows. However, as we talked about last time, that isn't so pashut. Really, there might be two separate questions. One is the question of, can atzamos be mivatel? In other words, be mitzarif leheter levatel as a iser. And the second question is, are atzamos themselves mutter or aser? Just because you hold that atzamos are capable of being mevatel as a iser, that doesn't mean that they're mutter. And we see that from the Rash himself. Because remember, the Rash, who says even atzamos rakin and lachin are mitzdarif levatel as a heter, proves that from the Gid Anasha. Now the Gid Anasha is certainly aser to eat. An Isser D'Oraisa. And yet, it might be capable of being Mitzdareif Imahet or Levatel Asesser. Why is that? That's very simple, like we explained last time, because since the Isser spreads to it and is absorbed in it, or it dilutes the Isser, however you understand that, Bechina Rishona, Bechina Shnia, whatever you say, in the end of the day, it's possible for Isser to be Mevatel Het, well, Isser to Mevatel Isser, be Mitzdareif Imahetter. So therefore, Reb Chaim Moser's assumption that, well, if you hold like the Rash for a sur gelatin is mutter, and even if you hold like the Ran, since the gelatin comes from dried bones, for sure it's mutter, that's not so simple. And once you say that the Rambam is not necessarily talking about moist bones, because at least within the Rambam itself there's no hard proof for that, so the proofs of Reb Chaim Moser Lahakel are now not so simple. Oh. And then he says, well, we have a different problem. Even if you accept what I've said, even if you accept everything that I said, namely that dried out bones are heter gamor, right? The Rambam doesn't apply because the Rambam is talking about moist bones and the Rash, even wet bones are mutter. But everybody agrees that cooked bones are certainly aser, right? That's a Shulchan Aruch over here, the Sif Beis. Shulchan Aruch says that if you, let's say, take a bone, even a totally dried out bone, and you cook it together with the treif meat, so now the bone certainly can't be mitzdarif ima hater, it will be mitzdarif ima iser, it's full of blio shel iser. Well, maybe the bones used to make gelatin are full of blio shel iser. So, maybe Metzias, this is true, maybe it's not true, but do you have to worry about it? At least theoretically, what's the point? And even practically, you know, if they don't remove all the, when they do cook it, when they heat it, if not every scrap of meat is removed, so then that could be an issue. So he says, no, it's still going to be okay. Why? Because once something is totally dried out, and made into nothing, so it's nifsad lagamre, so whatever iser was there ceases to exist, or ceases to be aser. And in the process of making gelatin, what do? They put in these very powerful acids that are needed to break down the collagen fibers, and any blios shel iser that are there are certainly destroyed, or certainly pogame, it's nifsa lagamre, and therefore, even if the bones were usher, for whatever reason, including balua b'hem iser, that iser goes away. That's what he says. Now, there's a problem with saying that, because in Yoredeya Kuf Nun Hei, the Rama implies otherwise. There, we're talking about a case of a sheretz that's burnt up, and the Rama says, well, if you burn up a sheretz, it's mutter to take it, use it for refuah, because it's nifsal, right? It's all burnt up. But the implication is only refuah it's mutter, not la'achila. So you see that it's aser to eat something that's totally nifsal. So that's what's going on here. If we're going to assume that the bones are aser, so even though they're totally nifsal, it should still be aser to eat them. So how does Reb Chaim Ozer deal with that? So he says, no, that's different. Why? There it's achshavei. The reason why you can't eat something which is nifsal is because of achshavei. Well, why don't you have to worry about achshavei over here with the gelatin? The answer is that the gelatin is not used because it tastes good or anything like that. It's simply a davar hamamid. The purpose of the gelatin is to give basically a certain type of texture, and therefore you're not using it because you like it or to eat it. Achshavei is when you eat something. So if you eat this food that's nifsal, it's aser. That's achshavei. That's not relevant over here. Here it's just being used as a davar hamamid, and we don't say achshavei for a davar hamamid. Ad kan divrei Reb Chaim Ozer. So, what are the other tzadim? So again, there are many things written on this topic, but the big machmir on this is Rav Aaron Cutler. And to summarize, I'll summarize mostly Simon Yud Zayin. In Tes Zayin, he thinks that achshavei is applicable here. We'll get to why in a moment. In Yud Zayin, he starts off. It's a beautiful piece because it's like a lumdish shtickle, though he comes out with the halach lemaisa application. So he starts off with the basic chakira. The Rambam writes that at the very least you're not chayev on atzamos. So why not? So there's two ways to understand this. And these were the two tzadim in the chakira we talked about last year. One possibility why you're not chayev is because they're not ra'il achila, and it's shelo kederach achila, so that you're pater. That's why you're not chayev on atzamos. The second possibility is no, that there's a gzeris akasav that basically tells you that they're not aser at all. Right, the pasuk says mibsaram. That's what you can't consume mibsaram, but this isn't basar. So the Torah never said they're aser. So that's why you're not chayev. Now the Rambam does say lefish enim reuyin. So you have to say what he means is that they're not bechlal the iser, and therefore be'etzem they're not aser batzmusam. Okay, so those are the two basic tzadim. Are bones aser, but there's no chayev because they're enim reuyin lachila? Or are bones not aser at all? There's no iser on bones. It's true they come from a nevela or a trefa or an animal that isn't even kosher, but the Torah asered basar. The Torah didn't aser atzamos. And he basically says that that's the chakira here. If you hold that be'etzem atzamos are an aser, so then there's not going to be any problem with gelatin. Torah said they're not aser. Great. But if you hold that they are aser, just they're enim ruyin lachila, well then, if they're made into something which is royal lachila, it's going to be aser. Now, as we'll see shortly, that somewhat, both of the assumptions are somewhat of an oversimplification, and he addresses that point in a moment. Yeah?
Is it sort of like, is it kedara to make gelatin the way, like,
so that's going to, that now you have to figure out how do you define kedarko, right? Right. Okay. Good. So he's going to get there. That's part of his analysis. Okay. So now let's go to the first tzad. So again, the first tzad is that the Rambam's telling you, and a drasha that's matir atzamos, at least on a drasha level, is telling you that there ain't a ruyin lachila, or the p'tur is because of ain't a ruyin lachila. So you could ask the following question: if that's pshat, so why do we need a pasuk to tell me that it's aser? Don't we know that something that's ein arai lachila is not chayiv? So he says, no, maybe without the drasha, I would think that there's a shame neveler tmeya on it, even if it's ena raya l'achila. And he says, I give you a raya, gid anasha. Right? Gid anasha is, we paskin, is ein begidim beno same time, and yet there's still asar. So you see it's shayach, iser on something that's ena ra'ui. Now that's a very strange dimyon. Why? Because is a gid anasha ena raya l'achila? No, it's raya l'achila. Just because something's ena beno same time, doesn't mean it's ena raya l'achila. There's a big difference between a bone, if we say that bones are ena ra'uyin l'achila, and thus, again, if you just say it's going on the lachlus of the basar, like the rash and the like, but that's not, when we're talking about the actual bone, right? So if it's ena raya l'achila, it's not like a gid, it's actually inedible. As opposed to a gid, which just because it's ena ra'uyin l'achila doesn't mean it's inedible. So that sad is difficult. But that's what he says is the machlokas. So then he goes ahead for many osios, really, until osiyot gimel, and he tries to show that there are a lot of rayos like the second sad, meaning to say that fundamentally there's no isra at all on atzamos, which would then, according to his chakira, say that atzamos should be okay. Except that he says that that's not true, because in the end of the day, we're going to paskin like the Ran. Why? The Shach and the Gra paskin like the Ran. And the Ran assumes that atzamos are aser, bats musam. Why? Because if you assumed, like the second tzad, namely that there's no iser at all on the atzamos, so then why would you say that atzamos shel iser are not mevatel es ha-iser? After all, the Torah has a derech hakasav being mafkia atzamos from iser, right? That's not nevela, so they should be mitzdarif laheter. So he assumes then that the Ran who holds that atzamos shall iser are mitzdarif im ha-iser, if they're at least soft or moist. So that shows me, the Ran must hold, that fundamentally, atzamos are aser. Aye, so then, why is it mutter, why when they're dried out? So when they're dried out, they're enim re'uyin, and the like, and therefore they could be mitzdarif in the heter. But fundamentally, at least according to the Ran, and he thinks we pass him like the Ran, atzamos are aser. Ah. And then he says, well, once you hold like the Ran, that moist bones are aser, so, okay, but Rav Chaim Moser said, okay, moist bones are aser, but these are dried out bones, right? It's a good point. When you make, the Ran agrees that there's no iser on dried out bones, so he says no, that even though you dried out these bones, avshim yavshin es atzamos mikodem kishachozrin v'nashin rakim asurim. Now, one second, how do you know that's true? How do you know, just because bones, fresh, moist bones are usher, according to the Ran, how do you know that bones that are dried out and subsequently rehydrated are usher again? And he says, well, maybe it's domeh to the Or HaKeva. Let's say you had an Or HaKeva, right? The Or HaKeva was totally dried out, and then re-moistened, so it's going to be aser again. So too, if you have bones that are dried out and then rejuvenated in the form of gelatin, should also be aser. So that's what he says. But again, you could ask Akasha. Why? Because Or HaKeva is fundamentally basar. So it's true. If you take basar and you dehydrate the basar to the point where it's Eitz Ba'alma, and then you rehydrate the basar to the point that now it's now soft and edible again, so we'll say the iser comes back. But bones, that's not true. Maybe bones are mutter, according to the Ran. Dried out bones are mutter. But when they have moisture in it, so then they're usser. Why? Not the bones are usser, the moisture is usser. So this question is basically a basic chakira in how to understand Shita Saran and Shita Sashach and the Gra and the like. How do you see the Ran? So the way Rav Aaron understood the Ran is that, according to the Ran, bones are like basar. And therefore, they're usher. And if you dry them out, so then they could be mitzdarif levato. And memela, if you rehydrate them, they're chosrin lios isser. But you could have understood the Ran differently. Intuitively, I would have understood the Ran as saying that bones are a composition, a composite of bone, which is not usser, and moach, which is usser. And Ran holds that the lachus in the bone is like the moach, right? That's usser. So now, if you went ahead and you took out all that lachus, because you dried it out, even if you were to rehydrate it, somehow make it rowy again, it's not going to be choser l'isser. It's not like meat. If you turned meat into etz ba'alma, and then rehydrate it, so then you're back to meat. Whereas when you talk about bones, once they're dehydrated, there's no isser left. And then if you make them rowy somehow again, you're just making bones rowy, and that's not usser. So I don't necessarily have a raya that I'm right either. I'm just pointing out that the way he's learning the Ran, which is basically the basis of his assumption that to usser gelatin, is not clear. You could really understand the Ran two different ways. You could see the Ran the way I thought to say, which is that the lachos is like moach. There's two aspects, there's two components to the bone. There's the etzem and there's the moach. And memela, if you learned that way and you got rid of all the lachos, even if you were to somehow make it roy again, I would say, still mutter. Or you could understand it the way he's saying it, which is you treat an etzem like basar, and memela, if you rehydrate it or in some other way make it roy again, it will be chozer liyeser.
Lachos is coming from the marrow, or the lachos is coming from the bone being... Where is the lachos coming from?
I don't know. And that's part of the shaila. In other words, and you know, you see that question is already part of the machlokas rishonim. Meaning, say the Rash, who says the lachos is mutter, he agrees that moach is aser, right? And so the Rash clearly held that the lachos is different than moach. Now the Ran disagrees. The Ran says otherwise. So the question is, what's pshat in the Ran? How much is he arguing with the Rash, right? And that's his question. And in the end of the day, the question of gelatin might hinge on this. Now, you could still say, even if we accept Ravaran's assumption, it's different, because this isn't like reinserting lachos. This is making it ra'oi after it's been nisraf, v'nasa, ke'efer, and the like. And that brings us to another point, which is that Ravaran says, one second, the Chavos Das writes in Simen Kuf Gimel, Sif Aleph, that anything that's nifsal me'achilas adam is paka mimenu ha'iser, and therefore, even if it's mesukan acharkach, it remains mutter. So he says, okay, it's true, that's the view of the Chavos Das, and according to the Chavos Das, gelatin would be mutter, but many poskim disagree with the Chavos Das, and we don't necessarily paskin lahakel like that Chavos Das. And then he says, aye, but the Shulchan Aruch, what about the Mechaber that says it's okay? So he says, no, even if you hold like the Mechaber and the Rash, you're still going to have to be machmir al tachshavei. Aye, we saw Reb Chaim Ozer said achshavei isn't relevant. So why is this different? So we have here a fundamental machlokas how to understand achshavei. Maybe we'll get back to this a little later. But Rav Aaron understands achshavei. The pshat in achshavei is what? The pshat is that something that achshavei here as a davar hamamid isn't going to help. Because what was Rav Aaron? Let's take a step back. What was Rav Chaim Ozer's svara? Why isn't achshavei relevant? He said, because here achshavei is only relevant when you eat it. Here, you're only using it as a davar hamamid, and we don't say achshavei and a davar hamamid. Says Rav Aaron, no. Because once something's a davar hamamid, chazal or misakein, midrabanan, davar hamamid is eino bato. So it's kilu, it's be'en. And if it's kilu, it's be'en, then you're eating it. And then shuv, achshavei shayach. So that machlokas, I think we'll return to when we get back to the geder of davar hamamid being eino bato. So just before your question, so bekitzer, what do the poskim say? So there are Rabu HaMekilim and Rabu HaMachmirim, Rav Aaron Cutler, the Chazon Ish, Rav Moshe, were all Machmir on gelatin. Rav Chaim Ozer, Rav Yehuda Leiv Zeltzer, Rav Yehuda Leiv Tzilazon in a sefer known as Atzei Halavanam. These ones I saw quoted in Rav Avadia. I didn't look them up. The Tzitz Eliezer, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, Rav Avadia Yosef, and the Rav all said it was mutter. The Rabbanut in Eretz Yisrael is lenient. That's why you could get Wrigley's gum in Israel with the Rabbanut. Now you could get good without gelatin, but it used to be, and marshmallows and the like. So when I was growing up, you couldn't get decent kosher marshmallows or gum or the like, because there was no such thing as kosher gelatin. Now they have kosher gelatin, which is basically either made from fish bones, so that's going to be okay, to avoid all this problem, or made from kosher animals, which is also okay. But the Israeli, if you get Rabbanut things, so because really the many of the great poskim in Eretz Yisrael were makel, so therefore the Rabbanut is makel. Generally, the more stringent hechsherim in Eretz Yisrael and the hechsherim in America follow the stringent view, since the Rabbanim in America, Rav Aaron and Rav Moshe, tended to be machmir, and therefore they are machmir. The Tzitz Eliezer quotes a tshuva from Yerv Chetzkel Abramsky, just an interesting klali hora'ah point. He says, Rav Chetzkel Abramsky has a tshuva about it, he says it's mutter. Chaim Oz is right. But he says, maybe, practically speaking, we should rule it's lahachmir. Why? Because people aren't going to understand that it should be mutter. If you tell people that this marshmallow is made out of nevelos and trefos and pig and the like, but it's mutter, because they're going to say that's a milsa de tmua, and they're going to come to the conclusion, oh, rabbis could just say whatever they want, you know. If you want a heter, they'll give you a heter. If they want to be machmir, you could be machmir. And that will lead to a diminution of respect of Torah, and therefore, he says, don't think, right? Ein zeh pachad shav im nachshosh shehoras heter de gelatin techazekes adeya hamishubeshes hanefutza. It was nefutza then, just imagine now. Kol kach bedorenu that iser veheter biyad harabanim kechomer biyad hayotzer. There's a rabbinic way. No! Thal kagon zeh namar biyuma al titnu makom letzedukim lirdos shiyomu lefi ritzonam heim osim hakol. V'zelashon Rabbeinu Chanan olusach haShabbos u'me'asham inan afilu dvar ma'mutarim kigon elu v'kidom alahem hamesurim lo'am ha'aretz ein adam rishai loris len heter ela yachmir aleihen le'iser. So he thinks that maybe, even if gelatin is mutter, we shouldn't paskin lahakel. Whether that concern is still true nowadays, not the global issue, but whether people are capable of understanding why it might be that gelatin could come from a nevela but still be okay, I don't know. But that is, I guess, the third option. It's mutter, but you should paskin it's aser. So those are the three options. Yeah?
Just in regards to the Ron Kosner saying in Iran, mm-hmm. So is he also equating the whether you can decide flipitzel to whether you can eat it? I mean, the Ron thinks that...
To some degree.
He's
assuming that the correct. So he's assuming, and again, the same questionable assumption that we saw in Reb Chaim Ozer. To some degree, yes, I agree. In other words, the way we were learning it and the way the Prima Gadim says it, right? These are really fundamentally two separate questions. It's a good point.
What about gel caps and medicine? Would you still say after be there?
So you could argue that, you could definitely argue, and this is a general question for medicine, which we'll talk about, but that's what, in light of the Ramah, that even if you learned like Reb Chaim Ozer, even if you learned like Reb Aaron, here it would be mutter, and there's additional tzad that it's also shaloka derech achilaso, and therefore there are poskim that write that even if one is machmir on gelatin, one could be makel on gel caps. There's still poskim that say that at least if one is capable of getting alternative medicine easily, so then one shouldn't do it. And that's going to get back also to the question of how you understand achshavei. But the argument which you're making is definitely a very reasonable argument that there's no hechreach that if Rav Aaron is machmir, it's achshavei, that achshavei would apply when it's davar hamamid, but not when it's something like this, which is just a tool to get it down your throat without tasting the medicine.
Mm-hmm. I really understand why Rav Aaron says that we say achshavei, just because davar hamamid is not batel and davar is banned, it still doesn't.
So once it's be'en, if you eat it, then you say achshavei. Again, that gets to the question of how you understand achshavei. I agree. But if you understand that anything you eat, even that's nifsal, is achshavei, so once you say this is be'en, and you're eating it, so then it's achshavei. That's his logic. You're saying that it depends what the svar of achshavei is. You're not necessarily assuming achshavei is out giving it chashivas, so you're not giving it chashivas. Well, we'll get that. We'll get back. I think that your intuitive understanding makes a lot of sense, but when we get back to Achshavei, we'll come back to this far. This comes back, and when we do that sugya, we will, Bezos Hashem, talk about generally how to treat non-kosher ingredients in medicine and whether there's Achshavei in that case. So we'll get back to that then, Bezos Hashem. Okay, good. Ad kan, our discussions of bones and